Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What you brought up during the break. Okay. We'll talk about it because we have sound on it. We'll play it. What did you make as the Rockets win 131-116? They're blowing them out. At one point, what was 30? What was the largest lead? 30, just 30
it
points?
It felt like 100.
31. There okay. You go. That was the largest lead at one point. It was 31 points in this game. They eventually cut it to what? 13? 11? Something like that? Did you care at all that they made that comeback in the fourth quarter and they outscored the
what
Rockets
do you mean
36
by, did you
to
care?
24? Like, did that do anything for you as a fan?
Not really.
Did you come away from saying like, wow, like they made a run in the fourth quarter? Oh,
it's a bunch of guys who won't play if there's a tight game, like at all. Kevin Knox. Who was the
minutes.
Guy, the two-way player that played? What's his name?
Braxton Key?
Exactly.
0-for-7.
If Braxton Key could hit a layup,
well,
what?
He had 5 offensive rebounds and couldn't make a shot.
There were guys playing on the Rockets I'd never heard of.
Let me give you some of the names there. Nate Williams? You've heard of Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, because people referenced him as a guy who might play.
Aaron Holiday?
Well, he played earlier in the game.
There you
in
go.
The second
he did.
Quarter,
he played some more, though. Like, Jock Landale. You love Jock Landale. You do.
Look, I'm not getting mad at anyone who's...
Jeff Green played. Old man Jeff Green played in that game.
Can't
he's
believe
50.
He's still around. No, I bet he's still 33. No, but like, look, I don't get mad. I'm one of those guys, like, it's never over till it's over.
He's
right?
38,
like,
by the way.
That's how I view, you know, sports. Like, at any moment, something could happen and anyone can mount a comeback, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also understand the way the NBA works. And the way the NBA works is... when you cut it to about 15, they were going to sub back in their guys, and they were going to find a way to win that game.
Of course. And do you take any silver lining in the fact that they pushed the starters out there? Was that like the bench did their job? They got the starters to get back out there, right?
Yeah, who was the bench? TJD.
TJD, Kevin Knox.
Spencer.
Patty Spencer, as I mentioned, Braxton Key. And okay. Then they did bring in Buddy Hield at one point. They brought him back. He was
the
only
I
starter.
I liked what I saw from Buddy, and maybe he can, you know, figure something up. But, like, how many combined minutes for those guys— in the entire playoffs.
Right.
Forget their play. How many combined minutes for those guys the last month and a half?
Right. They played more yesterday than they have in the last month combined, probably. Or at least close to it.
Like, is it, you know, fun that they fought back? Sure. Yeah. And I love those guys for doing that because that's their job. But is there any, like, grand takeaway? No. No.
Like,
this team will win and lose if Butler and Jimmy, Butler and Steph play well. If Draymond plays well, Pajemski plays well, maybe Moses Moody. Maybe there's an element of Moses Moody. I'll listen to that. You know, just seeing the ball go in the hoop and scrapping the way that he did. Maybe he builds his little confidence. You know, like, I think he should have played Quinn Post down the stretch. He played terrible. He needed, like, a confidence booster.
888-957-9570.
It's so odd. Like, I'm so encouraged that they fought back. It's nice. But I think it has nothing to do with game 6.
Well, did you feel
each playoff game is its own universe?
What was it? Like 14 like, or not 14, but 4 minutes to go. They were down by like 13, I want to say, maybe something around that. Paraphrasing here, but just give me some rope. Like, at that point, did you have any thought like, hey, maybe, you know, Steph, Jimmy, bring those guys in?
No.
No, not at all.
Once I saw Steph take off all the wrapping and all the stuff on it on him, I was like, yeah, it's a wrap.
Well, Steve Kerr was asked that same thing, if he had any thought about bringing the starters back in that fourth quarter.
Can't do that. You know, when you make a move like that and then, you know, the starters are on the bench, you can't go back to them. It's just not the right thing to do.
And he did appreciate what the bench did to force Houston to bring their starters back in the game.
Loved our bench group. They came in, they forced Houston to bring their starters back in. They set a tone that we're going to need for game six. And I thought, even though we lost the game, I thought it was crucial that we fought the way we did in the fourth quarter.
You know why, like, Brandon Belt drives me nuts? And I'm going cross-sport analogy. Because the guy would hit the meaningless, you know, solo shot in a 7-1 game.
Oh, no.
Right?
We got, it always comes back to Brandon Belt. Continue. No, continue.
Right, so, like, there are certain guys that you know rise to the occasion and are better playoff performers than they are regular season performers, clutch moment performers.
Yeah, like Brandon Belt against the Nationals.
And then there are other guys that just like, well, of course that guy did that right now, given the circumstance of this game and the score of this game.
Right.
And so, like a lot of the guys that were on the floor yesterday, they're not going to play at all.
You don't think? I didn't have to. You kind of laughed when I played that one.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just like, what? Like, have you watched the playoffs before?
The bench guys setting the tone for game six. I kind of was like, they're not playing in game six. How could they set the tone? But like, there was a little bit more
the
spiciness.
Bench guys set the
you
tone
set
for game six.
One more
That's
time.
Funny.
One more time.
There's no
Loved
way he
our,
believes that.
Our bench group, they came in, they forced Houston to bring their starters back in. They set a tone that we're going to need for game six. And I thought, even though we lost the game, I thought it was crucial that we fought the way we did in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I'm not buying. I love Steve. I love him. Again, Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock today on with Willard and Tibbs. But there's just no way that tone was set for game six.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Thank you, Steve.
So I want to go back to the 1998 finals with Jordan. You know when he hit the shot, obviously, over Ryan Russell? You know, in game three, the Bulls won
96-54. 54 points.
And then the next game was much tighter. You know, Jazz lost 82-86. But do you think like Karl Malone went up to the podium after that tight loss? Like, you know, our reserves really set the tone for this close loss the very next day. Come on, people.
Hey, Jimmy Butler, that is, loved the bench group playing their asses off.
Inspiring. You know, to get us back in the game, give us, them a chance, that's something special. Kudos to those guys for staying ready, for fighting, for not giving up. You know, always staying ready, because you never know when your number's going to be called, and it was tonight, and they played their asses off.
Maybe we're being mean about this and mean-spirited and being a little cynical, but it was special.
Could you imagine Karl Malone sitting there like, Shandon Anderson really fired me up. Adam Keefe, you know, he inspired John Stockton to play better.
Hey, I did love Pat Spencer, though. I will say that. He played his ass off, and he was ready
no
to
doubt,
fight Shane Goon.
No doubt, but like Kevin Knox minutes, I mean, look. That being said, did I appreciate TJD and Pat Spencer? Of course I did. Did I appreciate Moses Moody? Of course I did. There's no doubt about it. But to think that that's going to carry over into game six, like what carried over from game four to game five?
Exactly.
Okay, what carried over from no Jimmy in game three to game four? Like, these games are their own universe.
We were talking about there's momentum in a given game, but in a given series,
now, can
left
an individual
and right?
yeah. find his shot or his swing or, you know, his kicking method or whatever, or make some completions at the end of a game and feel good? Individually, you can feel good.
Fred VanVleet.
I'm talking about big team takeaways? Yeah. No.
Fred VanVleet, great example, right? Last two games, like he's been great. And I would expect that to carry over into game six right now because he's confident. And that's a guy who, if he finds a shot, I fear him more than anyone else on that team when it comes to him being hot and shooting the ball. He could kill you. We've seen it in 2019. He hit the biggest shots in that series. Again, bringing up old news and old wounds 6 years ago. I get it. But he is an all-star. He did get paid, and he is a leader on that team. That is without a doubt. Will is in Marin, wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. Wait, did we just have Will in Marin? Is this another Will in Marin? Will, you there?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Gone. Did I call him out and I scared him? He's gone. It's all right. Hey, it is what it is. Not only did Jimmy love that fight, though, about the bench. See, Kerr liked the fight. Draymond Green also enjoyed the fight.
That was huge. Just them coming in, playing the way they played, forced their starters to have to get back in the game. Gave us a run at it. Had it down 11 with multiple times to get it under 10. Just didn't work out, but I thought our bench did an incredible job of coming in and continuing the fight and making their presence felt in this series.
And Moses Moody, who was a part of that, had 26 minutes played. He played a lot of that end of that fourth quarter. 25 points for Moses, 9 of 18, shooting 50%, the three ball shot for him, 3 of 7, got to the line, 9 boards, 5 offensive boards for Moses Moody. I get it, garbage time going up against backups of the Houston Rockets. But confidence builder, hopefully, for him going forward, because that is a player that will actually get legitimate minutes in game 6. And do you go back to Moses in the starting lineup, I guess I should ask? Or do you stick with Buddy Hield, who did not have his greatest game yesterday, obviously? But again, how much do you take away from that, considering the game might have been over in the first quarter?
I don't know what to make of it. But I would say that I'm looking at two guys in that starting unit, Draymond and Pajemski. Whether we're talking about Moody or Buddy Hield, or let's say it's Quentin Post even, Draymond or Pajemski has got to be more assertive offensively. And I would even put Jimmy into this category early in the game. Because if one of those three can kind of get things stabilized, it tilts the floor and it forces that zone defense and the sagging off of all of these perimeter players. It forces them out to honor you. So you need one of those guys to step forward. So though, independent of whether Moses starts or Buddy starts or Quinn Post starts, like those guys are out there to shoot threes. These other guys that everyone's sagging off, those are the guys that have to be the ones that initiate offense.
It was a different Will in Marin that wants to join the conversation. So I guess there are a couple Wills that are in Marin. What's up, Will? What you got on yesterday's game and this team heading into game 6 now? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I usually think you guys are awesome, but I just feel like this was a really demeaning conversation and totally wrong about the how it mattered. How the bench guys played. You know, these guys are all friends. They spend so much time. It's so hard. They've been bench players at some time in their life. And to watch these guys, if you think about it, if you think about the Rockets players who are sitting on the bench laughing at a 30-point lead, it's so much worse for them to have to get off the bench. You know, it should have been 11 points if Braxton Keys missed like 4 shots. But it was in peril for them. And it was so gutsy and totally inspiring. And you could see the Warriors watching it. I mean, they didn't do their job, the starters. They did a terrible job. And watching these guys that they've seen in practice, and then finally when they put their starters in, they didn't wipe the floor with the bench guys even then. It was really inspiring. And Kerr loved it.
So you think with 5 minutes to go, wait, I just want to make this clear, because I don't. But you think with 5 minutes to go in the next game, like that's what's going to be the difference, like that inspiration? Because, like, come on, we're talking about professional sports and we're talking about mega superstars in basketball. I like, it's a great story. I love it. And trust me, the little league coach in me is like, yeah, that's the way to play the game. And I understand that. But I also understand that it probably has almost zero bearing on what's going to happen with 5 minutes to go, Rockets-Warriors game 6.
No, guys, I think you're wrong. And the reason why is I just think it changes the plane trip. People, they were so dispirited. You looked at the face when they were getting scrappy there with TJD and Spencer. You look at Draymond's face. You look at those guys. They were totally inspired by that. That changes everything. So much of it is like the mood you go into. If they had just gotten blitzed and then the bench guys just got wiped out, totally different plane trip home. Everything is different. I think it was a very, very inspiring. And then I think to look at what those guys did, it's kind of humiliating in a good way for the starters. Because, look, here's the bench guys. They don't get any time. They're playing against the starters, and they're out-rebounding these guys. Our starters couldn't get any rebounds. So I thought totally inspiring, great stuff. And also, you know, we saw something. TJD, I've been wanting this guy to get minutes. Also, Kevin Knox, I've been wanting him to get minutes. I thought it was very inspiring. I think everybody loved it, and I think the Rockets hated it. I mean, it was an irritant to them, and I love that. And Spencer, yeah, I mean, these guys are gamers. So, yeah, I thought it was totally inspiring. And I think you guys missed it on this one.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, you can have your opinion. We'll love ours, and I appreciate your perspective on it. That's okay. I just thought it was just funny, like, saying it was special. I thought, like, hey, they had a moment. That's great. It was a 13-point lead. Like, I'm just not
looking.
For a
younger team, yeah. I would buy it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler has been to two finals. Steph Curry has played in six.
Draymond Green has played
six.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve Kerr, six. Like, they don't need to be inspired. I'm just telling you, like, these guys are individually motivated. That's why they're the great of the greats. Like, Steph Curry has his own inspiration with inside of him to play well and his own personal pride. I don't know. I just disagree. I think you're being a little too naive.
That's okay. And that's fair.
We don't have to agree on it.
I'm not telling him how to feel. He can feel inspired by it. That's fine. I just don't think the players are going to go back and look at that and be like, yeah, that's going to be the real difference. And you know what? If you want to say that's the difference, if they win tomorrow, go right ahead. I don't care. I think Warriors fans just want them to win the damn game. And that's it. Can you not get blitzed by 40 in the first quarter? How about that? Let's not have that happen again. And I don't know if Kevin Knox, you know, being the cheerleader on the side is going to be the difference in doing that or not. But again, it was fun. It made them sweat. Just to make them sweat a little bit at the end.
I will buy.
Yeah, just make
that
them sweat.
Part I will buy.
Yeah.
But this inspiration and everything's kumbaya on the plane ride home. Like, these guys know what's at stake here. Yeah. You know, I don't think that they, you know, there are no moral victories for a team that is as decorated as they are.
No. Stephen Curry, though, as we talked, we've heard from Draymond, we heard from Jimmy, we heard from Steve Kerr on the bench's effort. Let's hear from the chef.
They took the challenge on the games going the opposite way, and we tried to encourage them at that, like, 6-minute mark in the third, just, you know, go out there, compete. What they did, they made their starters come back in, which is, you know, was something. And, you know, they brought a level of energy and competitiveness that was kind of remarkable, to be honest, like, to sustain that for that long. So, you know, they did an amazing job, and hopefully that'll kind of get us going in the sense of good morale and good energy going into game six.
I think they have their morale and energy. If, like, you were looking at that to be the catalyst, okay, that's fine. But again, I think Steph's referenced this at some point. He's like, hey, if you're looking for, like, a rah-rah speech or, like, morale boosters this late in the series, if you can't get up for game six at home at Chase Center already, then I don't even know what to tell you. So I know these guys are going to be up for that game regardless of what happened in yesterday's. But again, I liked the fight. I liked the passion. I liked Pat Spencer with that mustache, a la Burt Reynolds, Boogie Nights, going at Alperen Şengün, not backing down, the Dylan Brookses of the world. That was great. That was fun. It was good theater. And you know what? It kept my interest level at least late in that game because, boy, after halfway through the third quarter, hell, you can just go halfway through the second quarter, my interest level waned completely. And I was like, all right, well, time to get ready for game six on Friday at Chase Center at 6 o'clock, by the way. So
I always like to listen to the professional athletes in these situations and, like, listen to a Chris Mullen. Like, he's this
Mullen's
like, and, like,
Hall of Famer,
you know. The guys on the bench coming in and find, like, that's great for those individual guys and people, but that's not inspiring them to play any harder. They know what the stakes are. Yeah. These are professionals. And so I think we're bestowing youth sports morale to professionals that have been there, done that.
And that's where I just put a disconnect on it. And if you listen to the, like, whether it's Tolbert, Mullen, Steph Curry, they will tell you from game to game, there's no carryover. There's just no carryover in these moments. They're all their own individual games. It's like a different unit. It's not even the same planet. They are different universes. Now, are there individual performances that might be able to carry over and confidences and stuff? Sure. But like once the ball's tipped up, we're playing basketball.
Hey, people want to talk about it. People are fired up about this effort showed in game four. And if it could translate, check that, in game five in the fourth quarter, they think it could translate to game six. Are you buying that? What the morale boost of the bench bleeding into the starting unit into game six? Is that a real thing? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Winston in San Francisco. Wants to talk about it. Winston, good morning. How are we feeling?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Listen, I think, Butcher, you're missing a point here, and that's emotion. I mean, everyone is human, right? It's expected at this level for you to get over that kind of mental stumble. But at the same time, emotion is there, and that's always in the back of your mind. Hey, listen, these guys blew us out by 30. We're at home. We got to do the same. And I get it. I've coached also middle schoolers basketball. And you know, that emotion, it could really tank somebody. And at the end of the day, I think we're all human. So I think it will carry over. I think we have a point to prove now. And, you know, that's gonna show in game six.
All right, fair enough. Winston in San Francisco thinks it's going to carry over into game six. 888-957-9570. Larry in Hayward wants to talk about the bench effort. Larry, good morning. What you got?
Hey, how you guys doing? I'd like to say that you can have a couple of the bench players like Spencer, TJD, you know, come in off the bench, play in game six, get underneath the skin of like Brooks and Thompson and, you know, give them a couple hard fouls and kind of set the tone of what we need to set and play that bully ball just like they're playing.
All right. Fair enough. Larry and Hayward, 888-957-9570. Did the bench effort last night in the fourth quarter, do you believe that will have bearing on game six? Simple question. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think you agree. But you know what? Fans don't think that. They're listening to players. And, you know, I think that was the players' way of being nice and saying they appreciated the effort and they were bringing up their guys. And you know what? I appreciated the fight, too. I'm not a believer in momentum like that carrying over. But I'm not going to poo-poo all these people calling in, the Winstons, the other Wills, and the Marin, like, that's fine. You can feel like that. And if they win tomorrow and you want to pat yourself on the back, go right ahead. You can call in on Monday, and I'll be right there with you. Sure. Fine.
Game, what, 2016?
God, that was 9 years ago.
Yeah, 2016 when they lost.
Yeah.
They were up 3-1. Okay, they won going away in game four. Game five was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life, and so was game six. And they were unbelievably dynamic, and the Warriors packed it in, and other guys came in and cut the deficit a little more. When we talk about the 2016 finals, does anyone reference the contributions of cutting the games closer and the carryover effect into game seven?
No.
What do we talk about? What do we remember?
You're talking about Draymond.
They were tied
Green.
With 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Game seven against LeBron James.
Yes. And Kyrie Irving hits the big shot.
Look, I understand there's an emotional aspect to it. I understand that these are humans. I'm well aware of that. But I also understand this is the NBA, right? And like at the end of the day, a guy like Steph Curry doesn't need motivation from Kevin Knox. He's individually motivated. That's why he is as great as he is.
Did you feel motivated
as a
fan?
And I'm not trying to dog Kevin Knox. I'm just saying, like,
no.
Like now the Pat Spencer scene and TJD and all that, can that endear you to your teammates? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure they love that, you know? And could you bait them? And now getting them back onto the floor, like getting a closer to get up into a game in a blowout situation, can that have a tangible effect on them in the next one? Maybe. Yes, I'll buy that. I will buy that.
Well, that was the goal, to get those Houston starters back on the court. That's what Moses Moody said after the game.
Yeah, the goal was to make them put their starters in and not get a break. So we accomplished that. We didn't get the win, obviously, but we got something out of it.
They got something out of it. Let's go to Josh on 580, talking about the Warriors' game plan last night. We got Mayor of San Francisco, Daniel Lurie, joining us in 5 minutes. We'll get the mayor's thoughts on all this and what is expected to be a huge weekend of Bay Area sports. And as you know, Daniel Leary, he is a diehard Golden State Warriors fan. I wonder if the mayor took any morale from what the bench did last night. We'll ask him. Josh, 580, what you got, man? Good morning.
What up, fellas? Good morning. You know, it doesn't really matter what the bench did. I think we're wasting a little bit of time talking about that topic,
agreed,
to be honest.
Agreed.
If you guys remember 2022, the Grizzlies blew them out just the same way. You know, the Warriors are liable to give up a game where this will happen. That's why I always said it was going to be Warriors in six, because they'll have a tough game that they're going to lose and they're going to get blown out one game. And that's what happened. You expect that to happen game five. So I'm not really too worried. But what I am slightly worried about is this zone. I think we need to talk about the gameplay and how they're going to attack that zone, because that zone is causing the main thing you can't happen in the Warriors offense is that ball to stick. The ball's got to move in order for them to back cuts, the split actions, the Steph kind of off the screen.
I want you to stay on.
Yeah, all right,
I actually think the problem is
way, way too much. And that's something that if that happens, they're going to miss shots. Houston's going to get chances in the open court, and they're going to score, and we're going to play against a set of defense all game. That's going to make it very, very tough.
Let me pause you. Stop. Pot him down. I want to talk to him again. Listen, hey, I actually disagree on the ball stopping. I think they are passing the ball back and forth to each other on the perimeter as the shot clock is winding down. What I actually think they need to do in this zone defense is Pods or Draymond has got to take someone off the dribble and go into the lane and collapse the defense even more and then kick it out. Like right now, they're just sagging off of everyone and no one's hitting open shots and they're just kind of passing amongst each other and no one is being aggressive. I think the reverse is happening.
Well, I think they are passing, but they're not. I think what Pods does really well when Pods is in his bag, and Steve Kerr mentioned it, I think it might have been on Willard and Dibbs, but he catches the ball on the run. He's catching it downhill to attack the defense. And right now, when they're catching the ball, they're just catching and triple threat and jab, and nobody's catching and go. Everything is too slow when they get the ball. So they are passing it, but they're not passing with the intent to attack and
Agreed.
Break down the defense in that zone.
I agree.
They're getting very stagnant. So I think that's where it happened kind of in game four, too, but they were able to prevail because Houston missed so many free throws. But if they don't miss their free throws, they're in a bad spot because they got to figure out how to attack the zone. Jimmy's got to go quicker. You know, Paz has got to go quicker. They got to get Steph off the ball. And that's where something like Kuminga could help. But his confidence is so shot, he's not going to come in and do what he does well, which is what they need, is to get downhill. You know?
Thanks, Josh. That's Josh in 580. He's fired up, and rightfully so, taking away some things from Game 5, heading into Game 6. We're talking about the bench's effort last night, cutting that lead down to 13 at one point. A couple times he had a chance to cut it to 11, couldn't get it done. Rockets bring their starters in. They win the game. But was there anything you could take away from it heading into Game 6? We got the mayor coming up in a couple minutes. In the meantime, Samita in Los Gatos, one of our regulars. Samita, good morning. What did you make of that bench comeback yesterday?
Hey, guys. I have to agree 100% with what you two have been saying, which is, you know, I don't think anything carries over into Game 6. I think each game, as you guys said, is its own universe. I don't think, you know, I mean, you're telling me Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry need Pat Spencer to, like, provide them morale and motivation. I don't believe that for a second.
Agreed.
I think it was pretty clear from the beginning of the game that this was going to be a blowout. The Warriors did not bring any intensity. It was kind of like, almost like they were like, yeah, let's just go home and win it. Because I didn't see any effort in the first quarter. It was just a complete, you know, beatdown. And they wanted it. And we just seemed like we didn't. And that's what happened. We just couldn't recover from that first quarter deficit. And they just didn't have the drive. They didn't want it. They didn't want to win it in Houston. And so that was what happened. I mean, the bench, great. Happy for those guys. They got some minutes. Exactly. They got to be on TV. They played well. I mean, that's really, really great, but that's not going to win us anything.
No. Now, maybe the fact that the starters went back in, you know, maybe a couple of minutes here and there and exerting energy, like maybe there's some little tiny bit of fatigue carryover.
Right.
It feels negligible in terms of that, in terms of the actual depreciation that they exerted getting back into the game. They did their job, like the bench guys. But yeah, I'm with her.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.